I'll get to more in the middle part of the weekend, but the way it ended last night was, so she came over Friday night and obviously spent the night. We got up, as I told you, Saturday in the car all day. Mm-hmm. Imagine that, for 4 hours all the way up there, and super happy. She was going to have all this
very,
stuff
very
done.
Happy.
Bubbly. Then I spent my 3 hours with the shrunken head. Went back. Tell you about the CF at the hotel. It was a very long day.
Oh no!
We ended up getting up very early on Sunday. We arrived back home very early. She was there all day.
Uh-huh.
She took a nap. I took a nap. We had a snack. We had dinner, mm-hmm. and then
you took a nap where? When you got home finally?
Yeah. When we got home. Well, I'll tell you about. Because of my weird schedule, like, I was up at 5 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Right.
And if I'm up, she's up, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, because one hotel room, you know,
right.
one bed. So we
ended up, beat a lot of traffic that way.
We ended up leaving, like, at 6 and just coming home. And we came home, and she went to sleep for a couple of hours. And then later I took a nap. And anyway, it had been a very long weekend, and she likes to talk. And she likes to talk to me, and she likes asking me a lot of questions. And she's really wonderful, and... Anyway, we got done with dinner, mm-hmm. and the TV was on, the news was on, and then an ad came on for the Emmys.
Ah.
And she said, oh, I want to watch that tonight. I said, oh, you're out of luck. I'm watching the game tonight. I said, there's a live game on tonight, a preseason game. She said, oh, I'll watch it in the other room. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, no, you know what? Actually, if you leave very soon, you'll be home by the time it starts. That's exactly what I said to her.
That's how you said it?
And I appreciate the fact that she didn't get pissed off. She said, so what, am I going home tonight? And I said, yes. I said, yeah. I said, this is all new to me. This has been a great weekend, but it's overload now. I said, yeah. It would just probably be best if you went home. I said, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I said, you got work tomorrow.
You're communicating the awkwardness of the situation.
Yeah, I said, I don't
know. You sound probably just like you sounded.
I said, you have work tomorrow. I have work. Right. You know, we've been with each other for 3 days straight. All that car time, everything was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to get home and get to your own house. And so anyway, she said, okay. And she was fine with it. And I went back in the other room and turned on whatever stupid game was on, Houston and Denver. And I realized, like, 8 minutes later, she's been like Superwoman upstairs, all of her bags and everything, car, everything loaded. And I mean, you know, women, she bring like 8,000 bags just for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So like she comes into, she's just standing at the door. I can see her just standing at the door of my cave. I can see her in the reflection of one of the posters on the wall. So I say, what are you doing out there? She said, she thinks she's very mousy. She says, I didn't want to interrupt your game. So I go, pause the TiVo. And I say, it's not a problem. What's happening? She said, I'm all packed up. I'm ready to get out of your hair. And I said, all those big bags, all the dog stuff, all of your work stuff, all of your, she paid her bills. I said, oh, you carried all that by yourself? She said, yep, I'm all loaded. I said, why didn't you come ask me to move the bags or to help you move the bags? She said, well, because you want me to leave.
Oh, nothing wow. is free.
And,
boy, these fascinating conversations because they're so different.
And I said, well, you know, no, I don't want you to leave. I want you to go home.
Yeah.
And then she said, don't worry. She said, you know, don't worry. I totally understand.
All right,
I said,
good.
We had a lot of quality time together over the weekend.
I don't want you to leave. I just don't want you to stay.
No, but I mean, no, the way he said it, I don't want you to leave. I just want you to go home. Uh-huh. In a way, it probably softened it a little bit.
Communication.
No, she totally understood.
Yeah,
you know, she was. I mean,
you've been pretty clear on that.
She's great, and it was very. It's very nice to be that. You know, and I said to her as she was leaving, you know, and meanwhile the whole time is like game waiting. As she's standing at the door, I said, listen, thank you for being so understanding about this. She said, oh, listen, don't worry about it. You know. You're the greatest. I said, she said, that's what's really best is that I appreciate your honesty. And I said, as I do yours. And then this is where I made the tragic mistake because I had her on the stoop, car running, dog in the car loaded. I said to her, yeah, we really do. But, you know, you got to remember to tell me stuff like your birthday.
Yeah.
I said, you can't forget to tell me stuff
on right.
your birthday. And what I did there was start everything all over again. Because then she started the whole thing. But she said, oh, I'm really not upset about your about my birthday.
Kind of gave us a taste of what we got before.
Because Saturday, and meanwhile, I'm just standing there, you know, watching the car running,
uh-huh.
her dog inside going nuts. Right. Like, you know, I'm inside the car. My dog's at the front door barking because there's another dog that's right there. And what we're starting to do now is rehash.
Yeah, and you know that. And you know when you make that mistake because there's nothing, there's no going back when you make a mistake like that, when you really think that you're going to end the conversation.
Immediately.
It should be really well. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, listen. Bye-bye. What girl wouldn't want this schedule? I'll just end this with this. What girl wouldn't want to be with a fabulous guy like me on her birthday or the day that he thinks is her birthday? We get up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning to get to the goddamn spa.
Uh-huh.
We get to the goddamn spa.
What time do you go to bed at night when you get up at these hours?
We have to bed like at 10:30.
Okay.
On Friday
still
night.
Still early. Even at 10:30, it's early.
So she has all this stuff done. Now it's 4 o'clock. As I've mentioned, the place smells like dirty diaper.
Right.
It's an incredible CF to try to find where the room is between Hershey Street and Coco Avenue and Fifth Avenue. Get it, Fifth Avenue. Except, as it turns out, there's a Fifth Avenue A and a Fifth Avenue B.
Oh, sure.
And they don't bother telling you, so you're driving around, and there's no parking, because every numbnuts who's ever popped some chick's cherry is there this weekend with their illegitimate Brittany and Kevin children.
Well, you know, it's the last one of the last weekends of the summer.
I know. I was reminded of that. So
big weekend.
I was just, by the time I got Janet at the spa, got us checked in, and had all the bags in the room.
Uh-huh.
I was seriously soaking wet with sweat.
Yeah.
Smelled like the lobby of the hotel. It was just awful. And I said, I just got to take a shower. We had a dinner reservation at 8:45 in that fancy circular dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to get a reservation. She, of course, you know, was like agonizing over what dress to wear.
Of course.
I had to wear a suit. I had to bring a suit with me. I got out of the shower and sat down on the bed and said, I'm just going to turn the golf on for a second. I want to see how Tiger Woods is doing. This is on Saturday.
Right.
5 o'clock. We get back. I take the shower. 5:30, I'm going to watch TV. Next thing I know, I get this. Sweetie. I go, what? She says, what about dinner? I said, oh, yeah. It's not for a long time. She said, no, it's 7:45.
Oh.
I said, oh, Christ, how long have I been sleeping? She said, oh, not long, only an hour and a half. I said, what have you been doing? She said, reading my magazine.
Wow.
Looking at you.
Couldn't be more patient.
Oh, it's young love.
At any point did she measure your head?
So now
or vice versa.
So now
she's being used by her brother to collect heads.
So she's so sweet about this that I get up and I know that right away. I know the vibe that I'm giving off is I wake up and I go, oh, Christ, 7:45. I go, God damn, this has been a long day. So driving you up here, all that crap getting driving to your brother's. I got to put on that monkey suit, and you know, and right away I realized that I'm. And she says, "You know, we really don't have to go to the fancy place.
Wow.
We can go anywhere."
Listen to that.
And I said, "Only if you are sure."
God,
I think that this.
My
is just,
God, you're cracking me up.
This is like maybe the trap of traps. And she says, "No." She said, "You know what? You're tired. I'm tired too. We both got up very early today." She said,
"She's sitting there in her outfit."
Well, no. See, the thing is, she's happy because she's had her spa.
Was she dressed?
No.
Okay.
She was still wearing. She was still in her chocolate spa robe. She had a drink. She'd mellowed out a little bit.
Okay.
So she was fine. She said, "Listen, whatever." So I think, great. I could just put on like the Packers T-shirt I have on. We get in the car, and then comes the great drive of idiocy. And I blame myself more than her, because here are the choices. Applebee's, Red Robin.
Hey, it's God's country up there.
Fuddruckers, or a place right next to the hotel called Your Place, YRPLACE.
That's the one I would have chosen.
Well, that's the one she chose.
Because that was the unknown commodity.
That's the one she chose.
Yeah.
And I said,
did you have the old 96er when you went in there?
Ah! I said, you know what?
Were there animals on the wall?
I said, I don't trust the place.
Yeah.
It's too close. There's no cars outside.
The spelling is bad.
I don't think so. Let's go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So we drive up and down the goddamn strip. It's like, we go to Applebee's, and I said, I don't know if I can take Saturday night at Applebee's.
No.
She said, it's your call. I said, what's Red Robin? She said, it's like Applebee's. I said, oh, okay. Then she said, what about that Italian place? And I said, oh, I don't know. That looks like Applebee's too. And she said, well, where do you want to go? And I said, how about we go to the place by the hotel? So we spent 20 minutes driving around.
You went to your place?
Yeah, we go there, we eat. Now, here's the exciting life being with me. Here's the end of this long-winded story. Sorry to go on so long. We were asleep on Saturday night. I went to bed for good at 10:50.
Yeah.
And I woke up Sunday morning at 5 a.m. Now, I wake up, and I go, and I take a leak, and I'm very careful. I don't turn lights on or anything. As soon as I crawl back into the bed, she says, hey, good morning. I said, oh, I didn't mean to wake you. I'm sorry. She said, I'm awake. I said, are you truly awake? I said, you know, you're learning all about me now, and this is like a weird part. I said, because if we keep talking, I'm going to be like 100% awake. Mm-hmm. She said, it's okay with me. I said, okay, here come the lights.
Up, let's go.
I turn on the lights. We get the coffee maker going. Mm-hmm. Turn on ESPN. God damn it, 6 o'clock. Hershey in our rearview mirror, 6 a.m.
You're out of there.
It's kind of a neat feeling when you when you do a little escape. You're kind of escaping from the place. Yeah, so you're not dealing with all the other people.
Right. So we had a very nice day, and then it ended with, you know, with the, okay, now time to go. The only other thing of note would be a bit of road rage that I want to share with you. We are on either Highway 81 or 83, eventually
either
Pennsylvania.
One, right?
And I'm in the slow lane. We're in a part where it's a four-lane highway, two going one way, two going the other way. Mm-hmm. I'm in the right-hand lane.
Right.
Because I'm paranoid. There's 1,000 cops out with speed traps, and I got big, gigantic signs saying, you know, we are patrolling extra hard this weekend.
Right. Last time I got popped was in Pennsylvania. That's where they got me. Yeah. In that area, that same corridor.
No, they don't make any.
In fact, I got stopped where when I was coming back from Hershey.
They don't make any bones about it. You see the big sign saying speed enforcement, and then like 2 seconds later, there's 8,000 cops standing in the middle of the road with radar guns.
I got Tootsie Roll popped when I was coming back.
It's more fun.
That is fun.
Thank you.
So we're coming. I'm going just 65, you know, just got the cruise control on, uh-huh. And some dick is on my ass, and he wants to pass me. Now I'm in the right-hand lane. Oh, yeah. Right?
Plenty of room for him to get around.
So I turn around, and I go like, come on.
Wave
like,
him
like,
through.
Like, pass me. I'm in the right-hand lane. Guy gets up very close to me as he passes, swerves towards me. You know that move.
Yeah.
You know that right-hand move.
Right.
And hangs out of the car and pretends that he is cocking a shotgun. Now, at this point,
a guy in his passenger seat?
Yeah, the skinhead, and really he was. Yeah. He had a haircut like Yanni. Janet says, oh, my God, he's got a gun. And I go,
oh, no.
On the side of the road.
Oh, my God.
And then I said, you're effing me. He didn't have a gun? I didn't see a gun. She said, you know what? He pretended like he was cocking a gun. And I said,
that's a weird move anyway.
Sure
though.
Right.
So,
Jesus.
I said, okay, let's calm down. At the very least, I'm going to go catch up to this guy.
Oh, no.
So we can write his license plate.
Oh,
down.
Okay. Right. That, yeah.
That's all. I don't.
Still, though, if there's somebody's behaving that weird, it's kind of, you know.
So, you know, we work our way up, and it takes only a second. We see him, and she writes the number down. And we are, you know, two car lengths behind them in the right-hand lane. Mm-hmm. They're in the left-hand lane. They slow down.
Uh-oh.
We get up close, and he pulls out. It's almost like, remember that Tom Hanks thing on Saturday Night Live when he was the
with the like the
skating guy,
the six shooters,
yeah,
little toy six shooter, little cap gun.
He's leaning out of his car with his hands going, "Bow bow bow," and I'm going, and I'm screaming at this guy, "What is your effing problem?" And she's saying, "Don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. Don't talk." I said,
what time is this? Is this early, early?
This is
right after you leave Hershey, right?
This is like between 7 and 8.
Okay. Wow. So it's like maybe he's coming home from a big night.
Bender.
Yeah.
Or he's on his way to church.
I won't call
he's
her.
Coming home from a big night the night before.
So anyway, yeah. she says to me, don't do anything stupid. And I'm like, I can't do anything stupid. I said, I'm in the right-hand lane. The guy is, like, driving right next to us.
What's the driver doing?
It's a girl. She's just driving.
Oh. Wow.
She's just driving. So finally, you know, because Janet's flipping out a little bit, I just pulled
And suddenly he threw a shrunken head at you.
I pulled the car off on the side of the road, you know. We just sat there for a second.
Because right, he creeped you out that much.
Yeah. Said, we'll let him get by.
God, I wish I... I mean, you got, that's what they say. Just avoid those situations.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
But
bang, bang.
Even if he got the fake guns.
Hold on. Let's go to Buzz, because I believe we have what he is describing at least as breaking news.
Thought you'd want to know. John Mark Carr guilty of being handsome. The DNA did not match, and there are reports now that he will be released and not charged in the case. So well, I'm glad we spent all that time on the cable networks covering it.
Who
well,
told you?
What will they talk about next?
Who told you?
That's... Winner. That's the name of that tune.
Yep.
Well, oh, I mean, boy.
Is there going to be any penalty for the guy for doing this?
I got to get me a psychic hotline.
You should.
I really do. Uh-huh. I had that one right.
You know, with his track record, though, I hope they send him back to Thailand.
He's a little strange, but as things stand now, I don't know that he's going to be charged with anything.
Wow.
So I'm glad he got steak and shrimp. And
chalk one up for the Boulder police again.
Champagne.
Maybe it's a trick. Maybe he really
told
is.
Ya. Told ya. Told
you did
you
early
me.
On.
Yeah,
early
right
on.
Away.
Said that. I believe it is very boldly. I said the 50-50 chance.
Right.
I think that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You
what.
Made a
you,
fist and
you
made
called
that.
It.
You and a lot of other people said that.
And Mike, you have just unknowingly made a great segue.
Yes.
When you said I made a fist.
Uh-huh. You made a fist.
It's time to talk about Buzz going camping.
Hey! There we go.
There's so much I can't say.
When we come back.
I got a little intel. I've been getting bits and pieces of it. I'm pretty fascinated by what went on in this trip.
I see that Joe's got like 8,000 calls about shrunken heads and about
sure.
KKK in Pennsylvania. But really,
they're not related, though. The shrunken head and the KKK.
No, you can tell by the size of the hood.
Oh, God. I bet
but,
you can.
I can.
We'll talk about Buzz because he was super, super excited.
They were excited.
To get out of here on Friday.
I'm going to be honest with both you and John.
Yes?
You were super excited about the weekend.
Very
oh
excited
my God.
The reviews, I'm not sure. You I'm not sure how good a time. You know what I've gotten from both of them? What? Fine.
Do you remember
was,
that old
it was
commercial?
Fine.
It was fine.
Do you remember that old commercial where the bulldog was walking down nice. The street and a dog was literally jumping over it back and forth? I think
right.
It was a Kibbles and Bits commercial. That's the way they looked in the parking lot on Friday.
Yeah, and then when I asked both of them today, it was really, I got
like
a very
dogs in heat.
A yeah. very enthusiastic fine.
That's
I'm not sure, but I think something went horribly wrong.
I do know one thing this weekend. Buzz's head was not shrunken.
Oh, God.
No.
Quite the opposite.
No, in fact, that's true.
Swollen would be the word.
Engorged.
Well.
Homo.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's all think about that for a second.
I will. Wow.
I can't stop now.
Wow. Oh, God, I'm grossing myself out.
Oh, let's stop and think about something serious, like Hiroshima, a big mushroom cloud.
Yes, sirree. You know what I like on a good steak?
What?
Just a couple of mushroom caps. Wonderful. And whenever I ride my motorcycle, I always make sure to wear my helmet. Thank you. Thank you very much. These jokes are coming too easily to me.
They are.
I'm a little concerned about that.
How about those German helmets?
Oh, they're good,
yeah.
too.
Now, that's the kind that I like to wear.
Not with a spike, though.
No.
No.
No, that wouldn't look good at all.
You know what color helmets the Minnesota Vikings wear? Purple helmets.
Purple
helmets.
Big purple helmets.
They do. I know.
Notre Dame wears, they wear gold helmets, struck from a vein of gold.
We have to break.
We do.
So we can get ahead in the show.
Otherwise, we'd be sitting here doing this kind of stuff for the next 4 hours.
Because right now we're behind, which I'm sure was involved as well.
Well, I'm looking forward
over there with Captain Anal.
Looking forward to hearing the whole story. All I know is
Buzz coming out of his tugboat uniform.
Right. John, can I quote you on what you were telling me outside?
Which part?
About what your wife said to you on Saturday.
Oh, let's save it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Sounds to me like a shrunken head.
I asked.
Okay, we'll
Thank
come right
you.
Back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to make sure that we don't lose traction with something. Before we get back to the tapes, and we'll have plenty of time to hear all of the tapes from the baseball game, Robert out of control, and plenty of time for a big Buzz News segment.
Very good.
And thank you to all the backseat drivers, incidentally, out there on our fan site.
What?
I love it when I look at our fan site.
What now?
And I see, like, some ass, because I'm going somewhere with the internet with this, not about our fan site, but I look on it and see, like, oh, wondering what people thought of Mike singing. Yeah. I thought you did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
First thing I see is something like, you know, first segment went 50 minutes today. That means we won't be getting Buzz's news at the end of the show.
Oh, my God. True. Stop.
You know, eat me. So I turn that site off.
Yeah.
And I go over to Rupert's site.
Right.
Now, here we go. Here's his headline. Opie and Anthony get San Francisco and Chicago. Don and Mike pick up Maui. Now, I don't know if Rupert Pupkin knows this or not. We're cool with Opie and Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
We're beyond cool with them.
Right. Because,
you know, promote. They're going to be on Letterman tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good for them.
Right.
So his headline is Opie and Anthony add two more notches to their radio belts. Mm-hmm. Big East, San Francisco, and Chicago. Giving the New York-based radio duo coverage in 7 of the top 10 markets, including middays on Washington, D.C.'s WJFK.
Right.
Speaking of WJFK, mm-hmm. afternoon duo Don and Mike add a little one, an AM talker in Maui, which is not even an Arbitron-rated market. Don and Mike are heard in one top 10 market, their home base.
Wow, you know, he's still at it, isn't
Rupert,
he?
He's trying to hurt us.
Oh, Rupert, get bent, you Rupert, stain.
Rupert, I know.
Rupert is a stain.
I know that you are, really. A walking stain, as Mike said.
Yeah, that is.
A walking,
I mean, and I don't use
stain.
I don't use the word stain and to describe other human beings
the
very
only
often.
Way,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that I use to yeah. stain is the word.
The only way to fight him, we found out that the Meet the Fartleys thing about
yes.
his unique relationship with the guy from the news station,
yeah. right?
Really is climbing up his butt a little bit.
It's getting under his skin, his pockmarked skin.
So here we go, everybody. We're going to stop the tapes for 1 second about the baseball game because we want to make sure that Rupert Pupkin doesn't think that we have forgotten him. Because
mm-hmm.
he likes writing about us.
Very good.
He likes writing about us.
Yeah, we're going to
yes.
do a little play, a little
yes.
radio theater.
We are on in Maui. Yes, we're excited about that, Rupert.
Sure. Beautiful place.
You turned it into a slam, though.
But we don't care. Could be Maui. Could be Honolulu. Could be Fiji. Doesn't
way,
matter to us, Rupert.
Either way, it's more people than are reading your website.
Mm-hmm.
Please just notice, I'm not giving out the name of your website.
And where are you on, Rupert? Oh, that's right. Yeah, you've always wanted to be.
Rupert Pupkin. Keep, here we go.
Keep doing that Lutard show.
So, this soap opera is based on two people who are in our way.
Right.
One guy is named Jim Fartley. He's the guy who runs the all-news station in D.C., which is currently kicking our ass in the ratings. And he's very pompous and bold about it. And really, the only thing the guy is famous for is he's another one of these idiots that does traffic and weather together on the 8s. Then you have Rupert Pupkin, the guy who runs the radio gossip website, who has a hard-on for this show that I think borders on, to be honest with you,
Like a restraining order.
I mean,
that's what I think with this guy.
I think, really, he would either love to sit down and talk to me,
mm-hmm.
or he would love to
duct tape you.
Be my butt buddy.
Yeah, but forced yes. butt buddy.
That's what I mean. Or he probably would like.
Or
he'd like to kill me.
He'd actually like to make you his gimp.
Then he would like to eat me,
right.
like Dahmer me.
Exactly. He'd like to put your head in his refrigerator and talk to it every night. He'd like get his bologna sandwiches out and he'd say, hello, Don.
So here's how it goes, Rupert. You put a headline about Opie and Anthony, who a bulletin, breaking news, we're cool with. Mm-hmm. Good for them. They got some more markets. And you got to slam us, right?
Right.
There you go. Here's for you and your friend at WTOP. It's time for everybody's favorite soap opera.
It's time to meet the Fartleys. As we look in the glass-enclosed nerve center that is our hero's office, we find him hatching another brilliant plan. A plan that would not only help him garner good ratings, but one that would also help defeat his true opponents, adult-onset acne and chronic flatulence.
let's see. Oh, dear, my bottom is really singing today. I shouldn't have eaten so many graham crackers and marshmallow fluff sandwiches last night while I was watching America's Got Talent. It's so entertaining. That show is the bomb. Oh, speaking of bombs, that reminds me of terrorism. And I just got to figure out a way to keep Washington, D.C. listening to my news station.
Just then, Fartley's secretary, Bonnie Vill, comes into his office.
Your weekly shipment of Vaseline is here, Mr. Fartley. Where shall I put it?
Is it the normal amount this week?
Yes, sir. 8 large wooden crates.
You can put it in my special climate-controlled ointment chamber. Stack it to the left of the Tower of Vagisil.
Mr. Fartley, why do you need so much Vaseline?
That, my dear, is a riddle for the ages. But I will give you a hint. I won't be giving up my donut-shaped hemorrhoidal pillow anytime soon,
You sicken me, sir.
No surprise there. Sometimes I even sicken myself.
What a tool.
Right. Thanks, Bonnie. Now then, let's think about how to boost those ratings. Oh, ouch! Mercy me! The more I think, the more inflamed I seem to get. And gassy. If only I could steal another great idea, like financial news at 25 and 55, and then the world would be mine. Oh, is that my phone ringing?
Yes, it is.
Here's my...
Surprising to me.
Oh, bother. How can I have brilliant thoughts if the phone keeps ringing? Hello, newsroom. Jim Fartley speaking. How may I help you today? Well, hello, Rupert.
It was Rupert Pupkin who runs a local crooked gossip website.
Hello, Jungle Jim.
Nice of you to call, Rupadoop.
Hey, what are you wearing? What are you doing?
I'm trying to come up with another stolen hack radio idea to throw people off the track that I really am an idiot.
But Jim, as I write on my website, you're brilliant.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That fact was determined at the 12 news symposiums that I moderated yesterday. I sent out 68 press releases announcing that very fact.
You are truly a humble and handsome man.
Oh, yes. My humility will be discussed in an upcoming press release as well. Or check out my blog entitled James Fartley, a celebration of inferior excellence.
Yes. Oh, yes, you really are a smart feller.
And a fart smeller. Oh, this gas is very unfortunate.
Smelled. So.
Yeah?
What groundbreaking ideas are you working on currently I can put on my website?
I got nothing. What we need is a national disaster like 9/11 to drive folks to listen to my hack news anchors. You know, 9/11 was the best thing to happen to me since Clearasil.
Boy, oh boy. 9/11. On 9/11, the terrorists really handed us lemons.
And I made lemonade. Ah, and then I drank it.
I love to watch you drink lemonade.
Yes, thank you, dear. But listen, we still need to have a good disaster to drum up my ratings. Let's see. School closings always work. Maybe we can hope for a good blizzard.
I doubt it, Big Jim. We're in the middle of a historic heat wave right now, so I would say snow looks doubtful.
Let's see. I wasn't aware of the current weather because my digital clock's last digit isn't an 8 right now. You know, traffic and weather on the 8s, group.
Oh, just hearing you say that makes my knees buckle and my blemishes ooze. James Fartley, you really are a sexy genius.
Not really, I'm just a humble organic vegetable enthusiast who has won many, many broadcasting awards, including...
Oh, boy, here we go again.
The Polk Award, the Columbia DuPont, the Peabody, and the Associated Press Battle for Ingrown Back Hairs.
I'm sorry you got edged out for that Washingtonian Award last month.
That's all right. Truth be told, Liz Crenshaw actually does have better abs than I do. And boy, is she strong.
Is she?
Just last week, I saw her bench-pressing Susan Kidd while using three of Megan McGrath's teeth as ankle weights.
Jim, you're so connected with the news community. Do you really think that another national disaster would help out your station ratings-wise?
It always has, all throughout history.
Hold on. Typing now. Typing for website. For example?
Well, when the seven plagues fell on ancient Egypt in the Book of Exodus, my ancestor, Ramses Fartley, really went up to town and got XV rating in the 2000 BC fall book.
XXV?
Roman numerals! That's a 25 share, baby! And don't forget my great-great-grandfather, George Washington Fartley.
What did that great Fartley do?
He was at Valley Forge that winter of 1777. He stole all of the shoes from the troops so they'd freeze to death.
What did he do?
He stole all those shoes from the troops at Valley Forge so they would freeze to death. They really made a great story.
God, what an incredible a-hole.
Yes, the Fartley genetics run strong and pure, but no one can measure up to my great-uncle. Seamus Patrick Fitzgerald Murphy McNamara O. Fartley. He deliberately started the Great Chicago Fire of 1871.
Wait a minute. I thought a cow started that fire.
Common misconception. The cow was his wife. He loved to bang livestock.
So it runs in the family.
Yes, sirree, sir. That fire really put the Fartley name on the broadcasting map.
But, Jim, in all those cases you just told me about historical events...
Yes?
Radio had not even been invented yet.
I never said the Fartleys were smart. We just love to cash in on disaster and misfortune. Luckily, radio is much more popular now than it was in the 1800s, and I'm going to ride that gravy train all the way to the bank.
Now, Jim, what if the D.C. population never figures out that your station's just the same tired-ass old Associated Press crap recycled every half hour, read by the same lifeless hack anchors, with a clock that's so predictable that blind retards can see what's coming?
Well, they still haven't figured out that your website is a convoluted, twisted suckfest with a barely concealed personal agenda.
Touché! Touché!
Excuse me. Excuse me. Oh, excuse me.
Jesus.
By the way, I know I'm planning way ahead, but I'd like to invite you out to the house this December to help me celebrate.
Christmas?
Nope.
Hanukkah?
Nope.
What then?
We're celebrating the 65th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Big party, cake, ice cream, grape Kool-Aid, and a special appearance by my grandpa.
Who's that?
Isoruko Yakimoto Fartley. He was actually injured in Pearl Harbor.
Really? This is a scoop.
Yep. He cut himself when he pulled the lever to drop the bombs.
What an incredible a-hole.
He's a Fartley. Through and through.
Oh.
He's a Fartley through and through. Whoops. Wow. Can't seem to get rid of that. Well, Rube, gotta run. I'll beat you tonight at my organic veggie garden.
I wouldn't miss it for all the scented oils in Singapore.
Oh, and,
see you at 9.
Oh, and Rupert?
Yeah. Yes, Jim.
When you come.
Yes.
Come alone.
Join us next time when we'll hear Jim Fartley turn to Rupert Pupkin in his organic vegetable garden and say...
Thanks for coming by my patch, Rupert. Just having you here really makes my cucumber grow.
As we Meet the Fartleys.
Yeah, what can I say?
Bravo!
There you go.
Bravo.
I certainly like the history of
Love
the Fartley
show.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a Japanese ancestor.
I can tell you as we get into tomorrow's episode that...
Yeah.
Oh, before we'll be facing Rupert Pupkin a bit more.
Ah, very good. Very
facing
good.
Rupert a bit more.
Focus on Rupert.
It's not just about Jim. It's about two gigantic losers
that love each other
who are together.
Right.
And together, the power of L compels them.
It should be fun.
The power of L compels them.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Anyway, want to make sure we got that in today, just so you knew we're still watching you, Rupert.
Good.
Watching you, Rupert.
Ugh.
Watching you.
Yep.
Watching you.
We're always watching you.
Watching you
in that special relationship
watching
you have.
You.
That special, credible relationship you have.
You want to BF me. You can't BF me.
He wants you. He wants you to be his friend, clearly. And maybe more.
I think he wants you as well, friend.
I think so. I think we both could be duct tape.
I think he wants to BF you.
I think he wants to take...
At your restaurant.
He wants to take a power drill and drill our brain juice out. That's what he wants to do.
And suck it.
And keep a trophy.
Suck it.
Yeah, I'd check under his crawl space.
Suck it.
I've seen that guy. You've seen the pictures of that guy?
He wants to suck that straw. It would be a bendy straw.
Yeah, very bendy straw.
What are you doing? I'm sucking all the juice out of Don and Mike.
Yeah, this is fun.
Okay, a quick break. And we'll come back with more of the tapes of Robert the Mailman.
Hey.
Out of control with Mike and all of us at the Nationals baseball game this week. And be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, here's a shock. We were just talking to Dave. Dave Mitz, who is our on-site engineer.
Hello, Davey.
And David Mitz is really a great engineer.
He is.
I want to especially thank him personally for fixing these headphones for me.
Yeah, he takes care of all the little stuff around here.
I like these old, antiquated headphones that you can't buy anymore, and he practically rebuilt these things. So anyway, the guy was going out of his mind trying to figure out why the microphones were fading in and out, and we have finally decided, or Dave decided, Dave Mitz decided, that it's our station in D.C., WJFK. Someone at that radio station is, because the way that we do the show is we feed it from our new studios to WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
WJFK then feeds it to Westwood One, which feeds it to, you know, the limited amount of stations in the country that we're on.
And we go to commercial whether we're done talking or not. I'm sorry. That's an old piece of tape a long time ago.
Where are the pictures I was supposed to see? So someone back at WJFK is doing something with the Zephyr, which is, for lack of a better term, a digital way of us getting back. It uses wires. It's a way to get the sound, the show back to the station without using a satellite. It's supposed to be a little more reliable than satellite. You don't have a problem with the weather and junk like that.
Right.
This really could have been caused by someone doing too much internet surfing or everybody downloading something all at once.
You mean at WJFK?
Which has been odd because Travis is no longer monitoring the
Hold
show.
On. Are you really? I heard you guys discussing this. Are you serious that our Zephyr line, meaning like in essence our satellite to the station that sends the show to the country with Westwood One, it gets screwed up if too many people at WJFK are online?
Only if there's something really good on YouTube are we in trouble.
No, come on.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same server at WJFK. It all goes through the same.
Whoa. You mean we rely on that?
Yes.
Wow.
That sucks ass. That's like the worst.
So if they're overloaded over there, too many people surfing, it can get screwed up?
Only if someone, what Dave said, someone's doing something they shouldn't.
Hmm.
Because it makes allowances for them.
Hey, Dave Mitz, come in here for a second, please. Yeah, we've brought him by before. David Mitz.
Where is he?
And he's not admitting anything. His name is David, last name Mitz, because he's got him.
Dave, hey, Dave. I will compliment you. You got yourself a new short haircut.
I sure did.
Congratulations.
It
looks very good.
Seriously, thanks for the headphones. They kick ass. I really appreciate it. We appreciate everything you do in our new studio. Dave, what is the problem with the dickheads at the other station? Dave? my word, not yours. How is it that that somebody being on the internet could at a radio station could make them not be able to get our broadcast?
Actually, I think it might have more to do with the file transfer for our servers, not really internet.
Hmm. Does anybody know what that means?
Yeah, it means it's our computer. It's not an internet computer. It's basically our server that we use exclusively for broadcast lines, right? Okay.
Wow.
When you say,
so the answer is it could not be screwed up by people using the internet over at the other radio
station.
Right,
that's highly unlikely.
Highly irregular.
Well,
I misunderstood. I thought that's what he told me.
My theory is that it's screwed up because you came in and adjusted his microphone. What do you think about that?
Don't think that's it.
No? Okay.
Most likely there's just a connection problem with the Zephyrs. We have lock lights here, so I just want to...
Well, Rob, who told you the thing about the internet?
Didn't you say that someone's downloading something they shouldn't at the station?
Transferring files somewhere they shouldn't.
Okay, so I misunderstood because I'm not a computer engineer.
So with that incredibly detailed analysis of the problem, the problem has not necessarily been addressed yet then, because we're not really sure.
It could happen again?
As soon as I get a call back, I'll let you know.
And we haven't gotten a call back from Fairfax.
From any of the engineers at WJFK.
But they're aware of it.
Yes, I believe so.
You believe so? They haven't even acknowledged whether they're aware of the problem or not.
I happen to know the general manager. Give him a call. He'll love hearing from us.
Always does.
Last time that call went good.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 1.
Of course, that's how you get through to hell.
Well, you were told that the problem was at Fairfax, and there has been no acknowledgement of that, because we don't even know if the engineers know that, right?
I was told a lot of stuff during the break that it turns out was just fairy tales.
Right.
How you doing, Rob? It's because someone's on the internet.
Someone's doing something on a computer they shouldn't do. Perhaps.
Right.
Perhaps.
Hey, how about this show?
We don't even know if the engineers are aware of what's going on.
Are we on?
How about this show?
Hello?
Michael Hughes.
Hi, Mike. It's Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, listen. I tell you what, Rob needs to talk to you. No, not really. We should talk to you. Rob would do an awful job of explaining this. There's some problem with our microphones today, with our Zephyr lines. We've tried to explain that to our listeners.
They say that our voices are dropping off. We've gotten calls from Sacramento along the line. We've gotten calls from Fairfax where they say that it's the microphones are clipping and they're not hearing what we're saying.
And let me see. Rob gave me a cock and bull story about how it was because someone was downloading something on the internet. And Dave Mitz thinks that it's a problem with the computers. And we can't get any engineers on the telephone. And our microphones are dropping off. And we're just calling to ask you because you're the general manager. What should we do?
And you're calling me for a technical explanation?
No, I'm calling you because we can't seem to reach anybody at radio station WJFK.
So the reason you're getting the call is because we're requesting you use that giant general manager's iron boot of yours to see if somebody can maybe pay attention to the problem.
Let me make a telephone call.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Bye. Hey, good talking to you.
You.
Bye. See you at the Christmas party.
He's gone already.
He's on it.
Yeah. He's gone already.
He's gone.
He may. Oh, are you still there?
Hold on, Michael.
No. was that a last?
Wait.
I don't know. I was going to give him credit for being one of the best GMs we've had as far as hanging up, you know, before the conversation's over.
That is the sweetest part of talking to him.
Right.
See you at the Christmas party.
That really, is the best.
That is the next time we'll see his ass.
Oh, and a nice greeting to Mrs. Friends who came by today.
Yeah, it was nice to see Madonna. Our friend Madonna. All right, thank you, Dave Mitz. Thank you for your help. And, hey, Rob, can you see if we can get a picture of Dave Mitz up on the website?
Absolutely.
His new haircut.
He's really a very competent engineer. We're very lucky to have him around.
True.
And he's got a set of boobs bigger than that chick on Will and Grace.
Deborah Messing?
Yeah. No, the other one. The one that sounds like that.
Megan Mullally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Megan Mamory.
Megan Manslaughter.
She was showing her twins last night.
Yes. She was. And you know who else was? Tina Fey last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Showed a little TNA.
And Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah. Listen, when they did the Dick Clark thing,
yes.
Simon Cowell came out during the Emmys last night and had his shirt a la Buzz seriously unbuttoned five buttons.
Down to his navel.
And it looked like he had some type of glitter or something you definitely could not get on an airplane now.
Right.
Some type of gel on his chest hair.
Or it might have been sweat. I thought he was flop sweating.
I thought it was sweat, too. Yeah.
He looked like, and as he went on, you saw the old Richard Nixon stuff on his upper lip. I think he was shiny.
It was over 100 degrees out there.
Was it really?
I know a lot of people probably tuned in today waiting to hear specifically me scream about Dick Clark and like make fun of him with young Dick Clark. I feel exactly the opposite. I feel sorry for Dick Clark.
Yeah.
I feel I was watching this thing last night and seeing that I happened to flip on the moment when they introduced it. So I saw it live.
Great.
Just dumb luck. I flipped by.
I did
and I
too.
Thought,
I saw it too.
I thought, you know what? Sad, man. Sad. I mean, we like goofing on people. I like goofing on people when, you know, we play that Kirk Douglas type, you know.
Right.
Spartacus. But, you know, they're wheeling him out there to give him this jive-ass presentation because they don't know how much time he's got left. Mm. And they bring out, you know, Barry Manilow to sing for him.
And
poor Dick Clark is doing the best that he can.
Yeah, he really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's trying to be as hip as he can be under the circumstances. I think when we made fun of him at New Year's.
The Rockin' New Year's.
Didn't we all kind of have in the back of my mind that, you know, he's at the beginning of this thing and that it looks to me like maybe he's in that holding pattern.
Anyway, I found myself watching this last night. Very rare that I do this, you know, that I find that I have a soul. You know, I'm watching this thing going, oh, man, you know what this is? They're whoring out Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And he's going along with it for the last ride. It's like, let's prop him up. And when they're giving him the standing ovation, the shots in the audience are telling because the celebrities are like eating their boogers and drinking the drinks unless they realize the camera's on them.
Yeah.
And then they all look up and say, oh, yes, he meant so much. Poor Dick Clark was trying to get through this speech. We have the tape where he's talking
he's
about.
He's gotten worse since New Year's, it was, obviously.
It was sad. I mean, not that if you have a stroke, you should be. Well, no, listen. If you have a stroke, you shouldn't be on TV. You shouldn't be on an award show.
That's probably true.
Really?
Yeah.
Please, no cripples.
Makes everyone uncomfortable.
I think you've addressed that soul question right there. That's a good thing.
However, on our website, Mike, we do have what appears to be the only nip slip last night. It's from The Office, a show that won. And the chick's name is...
good luck.
Who knows? Anyway, here she is standing behind the people in the office, and you can't see a nip slip. That would be it for the Emmys last night.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look real close.
Yeah.
Look on the web. You'll see it.
You know what the saddest thing about Dick Clark was is not him having to talk. I thought he did a reasonably well job, and he came off real brave, but they left him up there for the song. And that was really like putting
like
him on
like he
display.
Was trapped, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously he can't walk that well.
And they had Barry Manilow come over and like stand by
so
him.
So uncomfortable.
And Dick Clark, bless his heart, was trying to give those looks that he would give on like on Foul Up's Blue. You know, he's the master of that phony,
hey, looking good. Ha ha. Yes, right. No, come on.
It was awful.
But trying to get everybody to sit down. That's the part I hate. It was like, hey, yeah.
Did you hear the very beginning, though, when Simon Cowell got booed?
Yeah,
yes.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Simon Cowell.
Listen, all those dickwads. Listen, people wouldn't be watching TV if not for Simon Cowell.
Exactly.
All those jealous Hollywood types.
Boom!
And he loves it.
Of course he eats it up. Yes, sure. He does.
Thank you. The year was 1956.
All right, so then he goes on.
He's a good reader, by the way.
He's a dandy.
He's matted chest hair.
You know, not to poke fun, just to say he should not have been out there, really. Here's Dick Clark. Now, you know, I was thinking about this, too. You could have gone to his house. You could have gotten a tape. You could have given him, like, five takes to say, like, thank you very much. You humble me. You know, I'm looking forward to getting better. Mm-hmm. But instead, you got to prop him up on his rascal.
Right.
You had to see the guy.
Yeah.
To see, like, everything that you make fun of. Yeah. You know, the face going off to one side.
Yeah, and it's the people around Dick Clark as well, or Dick Clark himself. I mean, he wants to be on television.
Right. But his face still looks better than Warren Beatty.
Here's a little bit of him.
The Emmy people called and asked if I could walk out and say thanks. My wife joked to walk. He's just begun to learn to walk again. the show might run a little long.
I mean, you know what?
Right.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. That's sad for Dick Clark, and that's sad for those freaking vultures in Hollywood.
Makes me look forward to New Year's Rockin' Eve, though, again. Next year. You think he'll be out there for that?
They'll have him in a box like they had Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm.
No, I think he'll do it. I mean, he's obviously, I think he is exactly where he was in January.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Clark.
Boo! No, I'm sorry. Oh, that was for Simon.
Yeah,
the Emmy people called and asked if I did it without.
God, yuck! Yeah. That's bad. That's bad. You know, you do that. You do that after he dies. You do the big tribute after he dies, or you do it while he's alive. But you don't bring him up there while he's in his, you know, his death machine, you know, or whatever his stroke machine is that they had him sitting in.
Stroke machine.
I think it was a podium.
There was something behind it.
I don't think
it
was a machine.
There was something
it?
Behind it, though.
Like a Christopher Reeve machine?
Like, I think it was like a Doc Ock thing from Spider-Man.
Wasn't he on a big, tall, like, drafting stool so you could roll him off and on?
No, or you actually say, you get him to say, you script it so he says, thank you very much, as opposed to having him do the, you know, the interaction and where he's got to tell people, I don't know.
Tell
it's
jokes.
Just, it's, you know, look, it could happen to anybody and it happened to him, you know.
Yeah, anyway, screw them. So that was pretty much that was the Emmys. I was glad to see 24 won.
Yes,
we all
did. You
did
see
that
the acceptance speech from Garcia?
Yep. As a matter of fact, I got it right here.
It really was. I was, you know, sitting there going, "Hey, that's our old intern," and he gets up there, and damn it, if he didn't come up with an original acceptance speech that was quick and funny.
You know, one thing you could say about me and Mike, and we tell this to anybody: we don't know anybody.
Right.
We don't know anybody famous at all. Mm-hmm. Celebrities don't like us.
Right.
But there is this cat that was an intern on our show.
Yeah, used to fetch sodas for you.
Later went on to work as an intern with Tony Kornheiser.
Right.
And now he's the guy behind My Name is Earl.
It's a big deal.
And here he is winning his Emmy Award.
For writing, I believe, right?
Greg Garcia.
And the Emmy goes to Greg Garcia, My Name is Earl pilot.
Thank you very much. I got a kiss from Cloris Leachman. That's nice. I don't have time to thank everybody that I should, so I thought it'd be easier if I mentioned a few people I do not want to thank. My eighth grade social studies teacher told me to sit down and shut up because I wasn't funny. No thank you, Mr. McAdoo. My boss, when I was a PA on the show Step by Step, who made me clean gum off the executive producer's shoe, no thank you, ma'am, tonight I do not share this with you.
Great little prick.
And finally, God, I'm sure you're responsible in some way, but you took my hair, and that's not cool, man. Not cool.
Great.
And since the music isn't playing, my mom and dad for supporting me, my sister Shelly, who's hilarious, my wife, who looks gorgeous tonight, and my sons, Camden and Nathan. Thank you very much.
Good job, Greg. Good job, Greg. Good job.
That was fun. And it caught me completely by surprise. Because, you know, he's a behind-the-scenes guy. He's a writer, producer out there, and he's done great things.
I'll tell you what's funny is that my kid called me, Bart, who has been in contact with Greg Garcia.
Right.
As I've mentioned, Greg has been nice enough to tell Bart about TV and stuff like that.
Bart's interested in film and
stuff. Oh, absolutely. So last night, I'm watching the football game, and Bart says, Dad, turn it on right now. I think Greg Garcia is going to win the Emmy. So I turn it on, and I see him win the Emmy, and I call Bart back, and I go, oh, you know, hey, listen, that's great. I seriously remember when that guy used to go to 7-Eleven to get Uncle Mike and I food. And
he had a lot of hair back then.
Used to go get us Chinese food and used to just do all the crap jobs that we didn't want. And then Bart said, Dad, how come he didn't thank you and Uncle Mike?
We might have been on that first list. Very possible.
I said, Bart, you're serious, right? And he said, yes. Why wouldn't he? I said, why would he thank you? He went to 7-Eleven.
He got coffee.
Yeah, he went and he got coffee for us. And the more that I talked to Bart, the more by the end, by the time I hung up the phone, I really, now not with malice in my heart,
no,
but I hung up the phone thinking, like, you know what? Well, now, why didn't he say our names?
It occurred to me. Yeah,
really, how freaking dumb is that? Did you think of that, too?
Sure, I seriously, when
he... Why would Greg Garcia... Oh, look, everybody's got to do a reality check, myself included. Why would he mention us?
Oh, you know, when he started with that angle, and he got the big laugh about the social studies teacher, I was waiting for us.
Yeah.
Because we would have been a perfect, you know, for Don and Mike, the DJs I work with, because I'm sure we made him do horrible things.
I'm sure.
Well, that's what Bart thought as
but
well.
But maybe we didn't make him do all those horrible things.
No, that's I thought about it. We did.
Did we make him? Did we ever really punish him? I don't think so.
I know what we did with him. We did make him go out with listeners on dates.
Yeah.
One time we made him go out with old divorcees.
Yeah, that's true.
Because because he was young and he had the surfer look?
Yes, he was. He had the big puffy blonde hair.
You wouldn't know it to see him now.
Right. I was sitting there, I'm in bed watching it with Carl, and I go, he's really a good kid. And Carla says to me, kid?
Yeah, you know, really.
And suddenly I feel 90 years old.
What's ironic is now he looks more like Tony Kornheiser.
He looks like Ron Howard is what he looks like.
Yeah, he does. God, you took my hair. That's not cool.
Wow. Thanks to Earl. He's one of the biggest deals in Hollywood. TV
he really
right
is.
Now.
That's he right. Is.
But even that, Buzz couldn't keep Yes Dear on the air.
I know.
God damn it. Thank
you. And Buzz, I was bummed to see, I didn't even know until last night, that one of our favorite shows, Huff, which has been canceled.
I didn't know it
either. That's a great show, and it's gone.
One more thing. Did you hear the T word?
Yes, three times.
The T-word made it on TV last night. Mm-hmm. Here's one of the times. We've got it beeped out.
We have. The Emmy goes to Helen Mirren, Elizabeth I.
Oh, yeah, here she was naughty.
Here we go.
My great triumph was not falling arse over shit as I came up those stairs.
So I guess that's okay. You can say that on the Emmys, and just in case that wasn't enough, here we go again.
Calista Flockhart and Greg Ferguson.
Are you all right, Calista?
Well, yes, but I did almost go ass over shit. Yeah. What did you do?
I was hoping that you would go ass over on the way out.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Body.
Does it have something to do with the accent? Can you say it if you're a foreigner?
Well, it's two Brits. But Calista Flockhart's not a Brit, is she?
But she's skinny.
But
everybody.
She used that's a British term.
Right.
Ass over tea.
But it was used by other people earlier.
Right.
And Mike, to be honest, that's why I'm going to FCC.com.
Good for you.
I am going to bombard them, the vocal minority. The T word. I wish
it's all about
the
way they use it. You know, I mean, if Conan O'Brien came back and said, "Did you see the T's?"
No, you know what?
On that last presenter,
I bet if they got a complaint, that they would do so. NBC would get a letter about it.
You'd have to, right?
At the very least, they would. In this climate, they'd
takes
have to
a lot
get a
of
letter
writing.
I'm
really
shocked.
Does.
I'm shocked that they aren't running on delay. Don't all major broadcasts operate on delay now?
I think they probably were on delay and just let it go. It was after 10:30, and they did use that word a couple of times on Hill Street Blues in that time slot.
Oh, you know what? Maybe you're right. That's right. We also saw Dennis Franz and a whole lot on NYPD Blue.
I gotta pinch a loaf.
Gotta break everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.